Welcome to Christmas at Genesis, and I just simply want to say, Brooke, wherever you are, there you are right now, we are so proud of you, we love you, and welcome home. So can we give it up for Brooke? If you're new here with us, we're a church family where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. We don't want something from you, but we certainly want something for you. We're for your family, we're for your future, and we're certainly for your relationship with God. In fact, our passionate mission is to help you take your next step with Jesus. So we're so glad that you're here today. We kicked off Christmas at Genesis last week, and my lovely wife helped me kick that off, and we took the title of this particular classic movie, and if you've never seen it, I encourage you to get some hot chocolate and some popcorn and spend the night just watching this movie. It is so good. But we took this title and said, is it really possible to have a wonderful life? And what does the birth of Jesus have to do with a wonderful life? And last week, we looked at a wonderful life is a joyful life. And this week, we're going to look at a wonderful life is a peaceful life. But can you do me a favor? Will you turn to the person who is to your right? And with a big smile, will you say to them this morning, Merry Christmas. Would you mind just doing that for me? Not bad. Now, I bet you can do this even better and with even more passion. Will you turn to the person who's on your left-hand side or in front of you, and will you say to them with a big smile on your face, Where's my gift? Do you mind just doing that? Yeah, exactly. That's right. I want to invite you to make your way over in the Old Testament, whether you have a hardback, a soft cover, or a digital form of the Bible this morning, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 in the Old Testament. And as you're making your way over there, I simply want to say thank you. And that was so meaningful to me. Thank you, Bo. Thank you to our church family for your love and your support and your encouragement and your prayers. Couldn't have done it without you, and I'm just so deeply, deeply grateful. For those of you who do not know, 4 years ago, I was invited into a journey to pursue a doctorate, and the opportunity was an opportunity that was free. It was a full ride, and they asked me if I would pray about it, and I said, I just prayed about it. Yes, sign me up for that. Those are the fast-track prayer requests. And little did I know that I would spend 20 days a year for the next 4 years somewhere learning. And I hope that I'm a little bit of a better husband and a better father and a little bit of a better pastor as a result of that journey. And I'm so grateful for it. You may wonder, what is the doctorate in? It is in leadership and spiritual formation. What I'm really passionate about is getting to spend time with people like you. And I hope in some small way God would use me to help you take your next step with Jesus, and I would take that next step with you. And so it's been quite a journey. Last year, you may not know this, but pretty much every Saturday morning by 5 a.m., I was out of the house, and by 5:30, I was writing a dissertation. And that dissertation is well over 150 pages, and I know no one will read that, including my mom or my wife, so I don't expect you to read that, by the way. But last Tuesday, I had the opportunity to defend that dissertation. And what does that mean? My wife and I flew to Manhattan, and the campus is actually located in Battery Park. You can actually see the Statue of Liberty. The picture is a picture of Alliance Theological Seminary. And I had an opportunity to defend before a group of people my dissertation. I presented for roughly 25 to 30 minutes, and then for an hour, they did a cross-examination and asked any questions that they would like. And then they ask you to leave the room, which is a little unsettling. And you will either get one of three responses back, at least in my field. It'll either be, you miserably failed and wasted our time. That's not a good response, just in case you're wondering. You are passed, but with conditions. And usually that means you have another 3 to 5 months worth of work, or you have passed without conditions. You still have a few things to clean up, but you can quickly clean that up. And I'm so grateful that they brought us in and they passed me without conditions. And so I will graduate in December of this year and walk in May. And again, I'm just so thankful for all of your support and all of your encouragement. It means the world. So thank you very much. If you've ever been to New York, you know what a quite interesting and amazing city that it is. I love the city of New York. When you're walking down the streets, sometimes I close my eyes. I spent 5 years right outside the city, and so a lot of time in the city. And you close your eyes and you hear the voices of people from all across the world. It is the most diverse city in the world. There's a picture of heaven in that, that heaven is filled with every tribe and tongue and nation. And there's something about that that you get to experience a little heaven on earth. I love just walking around and seeing the diversity. I love the sights and sounds. We went in F.A.O. Schwartz Toy Story, which is the largest toy store in New York. I don't know if it's the largest in the U.S., but my wife and I had a great time. There is no way in the world I would ever take my kids in a store like that. And we just had a wonderful time. My wife has always wanted to go to Grand Central Park, and I love Grand Central Station. I love all of that. And so we went to the park and just kind of strolled around the park, a massive park in the middle of this concrete jungle. And you can look back and you can see the cityscape. What you may not know is New York is not only the most diverse city in the world, it's also the wealthiest city in the entire world. It is home to over 60 billionaires and almost 400,000 millionaires. And the picture that you see, they're actually building the tallest residential building in the world, and the top room is actually still for sale in case someone's interested. You're just going to need $54 million to purchase it. That's how expensive it is. It's a city, though, that you have to be careful. Like any place, it doesn't have to just be New York. Wherever you're at around Christmas, I think you could agree, can be very stressful. I remember 2 years ago at Christmas time, driving to Nyack, which is not far away, and there is a mall. It was the fourth largest mall in the U.S. I don't know if it still is, but I drove around for an hour trying to find a parking space. You ever drove around and you just can't find a parking space? Tons of parking spaces, and they're all full, and finally, I made eye contact with someone, and we entered into a verbal eye agreement, like, I'm getting your space, and you know that. And so I followed them to their space. And there they go, and this is my opportunity. I've been sitting for an hour, and they're pulling out, and they're taking their sweet time. Have you ever been behind someone who decides to, like, write a book before they pull out of their space? That was happening, and I'm ready for them to pull out, and then I notice behind me, all the way at the back end, a car is moving at a fast pace, and I thought they would never. No, they couldn't do that, and they did it. They went right beside me, and as that person pulled out, they pulled right in front of me into that parking space. I would love to tell you that your pastor loved them in the name of Jesus, but I threatened to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus if they did not move their car from that parking spot. I have been to Lowe's here in Foley, and I have seen people yell at each other over a Christmas tree. I have been to the mall and seen people screaming over 10% off a shirt. It is very easy for Christmas to become stressmas. Wouldn't you agree? And what we're going to look at today is this whole aspect of peace. And sometimes I think it's very odd because in our homes we have these modern nativity sets and they are completely inaccurate. They have this picture of peace going on. You have Joseph who looks like he just finished with a dip in Orange Beach and his hair is, you know, blown dried, and he's just sitting there, just enjoying life. And Mary got a pedicure in Gulf Shores, and she's just hanging out. And there's the shepherds. Maybe they were having coffee at Owa. They're just having a great time. It's just peaceful, but that's just not true. I mean, can you imagine being Mary, having a child, and have no idea what your future is going to look like? Not a lot of peace there. Can you imagine being Joseph and so happy to be a husband, and now, unexpectedly, a father? And you can't even find a place for your wife to have her baby. That's not peace. I know we think our political climate is crazy and in crisis, but can you imagine being in a place where you're literally losing your life, violence all around you? There's a reason why Mary and Joseph are on the move. Have you ever heard of the Pax Romana? This is serious. There was no peace. But it's into that moment and into that circumstance, into when we feel like there's no way I can have peace here, that God seems to break through. And into that moment, he gave his son, the Messiah, the long-awaited hope of the world. And the prophet Isaiah, 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, with this anticipated Messiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes this, starting in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod for his oppressor, you have broken in the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle to molt, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. This is a chaotic time period. And then here it is. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He goes on to say, of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And here you have Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, saying, I know that you look around and the world around you is full of so much injustice. I know you look around and the world around you is full of so much brokenness. I know you look around and the world around you is full of despair, but God's going to give his son, and his son is going to change everything. And we know that the Messiah is known by these four names. I've shared with you our two children. They have a total of four names. If they don't like the first two, they still have options. And in this case, we know the Messiah is this Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what we'll look at today further, Prince of Peace. I was slowing down to consider this, because in our own lives, I'm not sure we consider this too deeply. Do you realize that the Son of God is not just given to the world, but given for you? That it's not just peace to the world, joy to the world. No, it's joy to you and peace for you. Now, it's not peace how we thought, nor did the Jewish people think that it would be peace in the way that they thought. They were looking for someone who would establish a military kingdom and lead a revolt, that finally they could have economic stability and they would be a powerhouse again and well recognized with a reputation for all the nations. But that's not the Messiah that would come. It wouldn't be setting up this economic kingdom. It would be setting up a spiritual kingdom. And when we think about peace, I want us to consider this. And this is worth writing down and reflecting in your small groups and on your ride home. The peace is not the absence of conflict in your life. It's the presence of Christ in your life. That this is the very promise of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome this world. Now, does that mean that the peace that Jesus is talking about is past our outer struggles and our outer circumstances and into our inner world? And the answer is absolutely yes. The Jewish people had a word for this, and the word in Hebrew is the word shalom. This sense of a peace that passes all understanding, that provides rest and a sense of fulfillment. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That the kingdom that is being brought and advanced is of righteousness, a right relationship with God. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is about a relationship with God. And the kingdom that's advanced is a kingdom that has to do with a relationship with a holy, transcendent, loving, and caring God. And it's also a relationship that is joyful, that eternity is about a continued, everlasting joy. That yes, God's desire for your life is no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, that you would have joy. And after all, it's Jesus who said, going to the cross, we looked at this in Hebrews, It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. And then there it is again. This kingdom is a kingdom that's connected to peace. Now, here's what you need to know about peace. When we think about peace, we're always thinking about a change in our circumstance. If I just had this differently, then finally I would have peace. And that is accurate, that is true, that peace can be a shift in the circumstances around us or even in us. But I also want you to know that peace is a person. And that person is Jesus. And the more that you know Jesus, the more that you actually will know peace. The closer you get in your relationship with Jesus, I'm just letting you know, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, that doesn't make sense. How in the world can they have peace when they receive that news? How in the world can they have peace when they heard about that? And isn't that, by the way, what we pray for people? Even this past week, a week that found ourselves with unexpected news. It wasn't in some ways completely surprising that somewhere in the U.S. there was another shooting, but it gets real personal when it's close to home at the Naval Air Station. And probably you prayed. And my guess is you may have prayed something like this, because prayer, here's a picture of prayer. Prayer is actually like taking someone into the very presence of God, because prayer is keeping company with God. And my guess is you prayed something like this. God, would you please provide a sense of peace to these families that are in this brokenness and tragedy right now? Because peace is a person, but peace is also connected to the presence. And so the kingdom of God is the power and presence of God underneath the rulership and reign of God, made possible by the very presence of the Spirit of God. And so wherever Jesus shows up, have you just noticed this? Wherever Jesus shows up, peace shows up. Like the moment when the disciples are on the sea and Jesus is asleep, and they come and they wake him up. And Jesus responds by speaking to the wind on the Sea of Galilee. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, because wherever Jesus shows up, peace shows up. And peace is not just a change in your circumstances. Peace is a person, and that person is Jesus. Now, I thought about this. And part of my role is to be ruthlessly honest. And I get this picture that for many of us, whenever we think of peace, it is very difficult for us. And I can understand why. I take you over to Luke chapter 2. And you have these shepherds who are interrupted and invited. And by the way, that's God's signature. He just seems to interrupt us and invite us into a journey with him, into a life with him. Maybe you're here today and you're just going about your normal Sunday. And I just want to tell you, God wants to interrupt you today and invite you into a life with him. And this is what takes place in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I was considering and reflecting and meditating on this verse as I'm walking through the streets of New York, and I close my eyes and I can hear all of the various cultures represented. And I thought, for unto us a child is born, unto this world a child is given. It says, and this will be the sign to you, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. We sang about that today. And on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased. What a picture, by the way. That first of all, God is glorified. When it comes to the incarnation, when it comes to the birth of Jesus, make no mistake about it. The first act of worship is God is glorified. that the birth of Jesus is about the glory of God, and peace is released on earth. God is glorified, and peace is released. But I kept coming back to this, and I kept thinking, it sounds wonderful. I love saying it. I can stand up here in front of you and say, peace be still. But do we really believe that? Or is it okay if we just confess this morning? Is it okay if we say, I believe Jesus rose from the grave, and somehow I worry whether or not he can handle my problems and circumstances? I believe Jesus can do miracles for other people, but I'm not sure he can do it for me. I believe Jesus came to bring peace, but I still have a lot of anxiety. It's one thing to have peace around you and to talk about peace in the world, but I just want to say to you, even today, right here as a holy moment, that God wants to bring peace in you. And that when peace gets in you, you can be a carrier of peace to others. When peace gets in you, peace can get through you. And what would it look like even today if you opened your life to the very peace that God can offer? I wrote down a few areas that I think we need peace. I think we need peace over our relationships. Jesus talks a lot about relationships because relationships are important to God. In the very Trinity, God is a relational God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's something about the holidays that just stirs up some angst when it comes to relationships. When you're sitting around the table or at the couch and you haven't seen this family or this friend in a while, and they say that one thing, and it sends you into another world. Again, we all have EGR people in our life, extra grace required people. And we can be extra grace required people to others. There's something about the tension. You're probably thinking of someone right now. Someone's probably thinking of you right now. And here's the interesting thing. What's the great commandment that Jesus quotes back to Deuteronomy? When asked, what's the greatest commandment? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. By the way, when people ask me, why in the world did you want to pursue a doctorate? To me, it was about worship. I'm going to love God with my mind. And that's just one of the ways I get to do that. But then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's so much easier to love a neighbor in Africa than to love our family who might be staying this Christmas with us in the next room. Because they're your neighbor too. It's so much easier. And I believe that God wants to bring peace into our relationships. In fact, some of us are here right now, and I'm just going to speak right into your life. You know that you're holding bitterness, and it's time to forgive. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, I'm speaking to you. If the holy, transcendent God could forgive your sin, it's time for you to start forgiving sin in other people's lives. I went to watch Frozen 2 with my daughter. I'm still scarred as a result of that. You might remember the first Frozen and that song, Let It Go. And for like years, I just wanted it to be Let It Go. But I have thought about that more and more. Like that's how peace can come. That's not some abstract, mysterious way. Do you realize peace can come through forgiveness? Sit across the table and talking with someone and say to them, you may not even realize this, but I've been holding this against you and you hurt me in a powerful way. And I just want to let you know, whether you realize it or not, I forgive you because God's forgiven me. And in the journey of that, peace is released. In fact, coming up in the next 2 weeks, there was someone, and I'm talking about something I'm going through. And I'll be honest with you, they hurt me. And it stung, and I have carried it with me. And God brought it back up. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing that very same thing. I'm not telling you something that I myself don't need to do. And I believe God desires to see peace take place in our relationships. I believe God wants to bring peace over our future. Many of you right now are so worried about your future. Maybe you're here today and you're even in high school and you're thinking about, what am I going to do next? Or what if I don't get in that college? Or maybe you're here and you're thinking about, what happens if I can't pay that bill? Or what happens if I don't get that job? Or what if, and what if, and what if? And here's the thing about worry. Worry in the original language is this picture of choking something out. Isn't that what worry does to us? Worry just chokes out any peace in our lives. And as followers of Jesus, we need to hear the words of Jesus, who said in Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put in your life more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan?" And the answer is a resounding no, I can't. There's a study done about worry. It says 40% of people worry about things that will never happen. 30% of people worry about things that have happened in the past. In other words, 70% of the things we're worrying about, we can do nothing about. 12% of us worry about what people said about us. 10% of us worry about things that have to do with our health issues in the future that might happen to us but have not happened to us. And 8% of what we worry about are present, real problems. In other words, 92% of what we're worrying about is things that are not even present in our life. And Jesus said, "Will you stop worrying, because worry is a waste of time?" When you put God in the first place, it puts everything in the right place. And here's what I think we need to hear. You cannot worry and trust God at the same time. And so you have a choice to make. God, will you help me? I recognize the reality of this anxiety that will not just go away today. It might be a lifelong journey. It's going to show up on Monday and show up on Wednesday. But I can be a person who comes to you and say, I open my life for your peace today. I need you today. Prince of Peace, speak into my life. And last, I think we need peace over our souls. We go on vacations for peace. We pay a lot of price for peace. But the peace that your soul desires cannot be found in the Caribbean. You know that, right? The peace that your soul needs cannot be found by purchasing something on Amazon. The peace that your soul needs is found in the person of Jesus. We may have never connected the gospel to peace, but I want you to see that the Apostle Paul, when writing to the letter of Ephesus, he actually says this is what he's preaching about. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near." And Jesus came to bring peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." And let's go back to this moment where the angels come to these shepherds. "And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And so this morning, I want to do two things. And I want to leave you with two questions. The questions are, what is God saying to you this morning? And how might you respond to what he's saying to you? Maybe you're like me, and your next step this morning is you need to make a plan that it's time to see forgiveness released in your relationships. It's time to see peace brought into those relationships. Maybe you're here today and the peace that you need is over your future, and you can't do anything about it, but you can humbly come before a holy God and say, Heavenly Father, will you just help me with this? Maybe you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and the peace that you need is found in the person of Jesus, and today you put your faith, hope, and trust in him. I want to invite the worship team to join me. And as they do, I want to lead you through an Advent prayer this morning, and then we're going to do something different. We're just going to give you an opportunity to respond this morning, and I'll share because I want this to be a house of response. How might God be speaking to you? And what does it look like to respond to what he's saying? And so I ask you to join me this morning in simply praying this Advent prayer in faith together as a church family. Will you pray this with me out loud this morning? Heavenly Father, help us to make this Christmas season all about the gift of your Son. We open our life to receive and to give your joy, your peace, your hope, and your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.